This is the Real Royal Family Podcast with your co-host, Valerie Wright. And we're here to take back your crown and the jewels that are on it. The jewels of your life, your joy, and your purpose. Only God's love and power can conquer trauma. Now, this is not virtual reality. It is spiritual reality. It is not a game, but we are going to treat it as a challenge to destroy what is destroying you. And God's word says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Let's get it. Get it. Get it. So, welcome again to the next episode of The Real Royal Family. And I am here with my senior partner, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Victory, who is here to ensure our victory every day, every moment, inside of us and outside of us, and to give us the victory and love and peace. This episode is called Destroy the Destroyer. To destroy the destroyer of the real royal family, which is our lineage, which is the kingdom of light, the kingdom of life, we must first resist and align with the word and the ways of victory. And to allow the destroyer to destroy us, we must resist the word and align with the word and the ways of the destroyer. So let's get the definition of destroy first. So Merriam-Webster, to destroy the structure, organic existence, or condition of something. More definition of destroy: to ruin as if by tearing to shreds. And as example, this can mean your reputation, it can mean a disease tearing your bodies to shred, or your mental capacity, or your hope. So that's your heart. More definitions of destroy is to put out of existence, to kill, neutralize, annihilate, vanquish. And so let's look up the word resist. To destroy the destroyer, we have to do our Father's will. And to be in alignment with the destroyer, we have to align up with the will of the destroyer. So let's look at the word resistance. The definition of the word resistance is an act or instance of resisting. Opposition is used as a word. It's a means of resisting, the power or capacity to resist. The inherent ability of an organism to resist harmful influences such as disease, toxic agents, or infection, and the capacity of a species or organism to survive exposure to a toxic agent such as a drug that was formerly effective against it. So once again, we're doing resisting. So opposing or impeding force or a psychological defense mechanism wherein a person rejects, denies, a psychological defense mechanism wherein a person rejects or denies something. And this is often capitalized, like using like the resistance, an underground organization engaging in sabotage and secret operations against occupational forces and collaborators. So synonyms, when you think of resist, think of defiance and opposition. Resistance is also an adjective. So it means relating to or exercise involving pushing or pulling against a source of resistance, such as a weight, to increase strength. So like in resistance training when we're working out. So in order to destroy the destroyer, we need internal resistance, because first of all, we're always cleaning up our inside first. We're never going to other people and trying to change the outside. Everything starts inside first, and then once we change and become what the word says that we are to become, so our thoughts, our actions, and our beliefs, then the outside begins to change, because then we begin aligning and intertwining and being on the same vibration as not a word, but the word and his word, okay? So to destroy the destroyer, we need internal resistance. These are thoughts, traditions embedded within us. They are often lies handed down by family, religion, culture, regions, race, class, or experience. External resistance is things which are outside of us, are people. They might be barriers. It might be our finances. It might be our strength. It might be our self, which is stopping us, which is really internal. But what it does is it projects what's not really there on the external. So we think we can't do something because of some self-perceived limitation. And as an example, I'm going to use internal self-talk. So I am, so fill in the blank, whatever you think about yourself. I'm fat, I'm wide, I'm short, I'm male. So therefore, I can't, fill in the blank, do this. Okay, that just remember that self-talk. We don't do self-talk, we do Christ talk. That's why we put on the mind of Christ. We are to think like he tells us to think. We are to be what he says we are. He says we are wonderfully and awesomely made. That means we are to do wonderful and awesome deeds in his name for our King and our kingdom. So here's an example, more resistance. When you stop listening, when the Bible or biblical premise challenges your self thought, yourself, God, the things you want to do and don't want to stop doing. What's the solution to that? Do what the word says. When it's clear it's a biblical principle, do what the word says. Now, sometimes the Bible is telling something about a concept, history, or about the cultures of something happening at that time. So it's talking about a particular thing. And so let me give an example of what I'm talking about. Because people like to cherry-pick biblical principles, and they like to especially seem to cherry-pick acutely when it comes to purity, when it comes to sex, when it comes to whoredom, comes to providing, who's supposed to be the provider. I'll give you a very simple example. Many female Bible believers have allowed male Bible believers to use a biblical letter addressing a particular historical and cultural issue to become a biblical principle, when it is in actuality an attempt by weak males to elevate being born with certain genitalia as a sign of superiority, as opposed to the constant message in the Bible about how God measures the heart and the intent of humans, of the people that say that they love him and believe him and adore him and submit themselves to him. So here's the example that is used as doctrine, but it's not a doctrine. In 1 Corinthians 14:34, it says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. They are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. But if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." Let's break that down. So if you really believe that, what parts of the Bible are you, as a believer and a lover of God, what are you forgetting? You're forgetting and you're ignoring Corinthians 3:28, when it says, "There is no Greek nor Jew, there is neither bond nor free, for there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Jesus Christ." So Father is saying, when you're in Christ, I'm not seeing your race, whether you're poor or rich. I'm not seeing any other condition except for that you believe. And not only do you believe, but you're obedient and you submit to my word and what my word says. Now you have to know what my word says, whatever your pre-existing condition is. Okay? You're tall, you're short, you're from that region, you're from that reason. You have that much money, wealth in your family, or you have very little. That is not a condition for me, because I am the God that created it all, and all the world belongs to me. And if I want to bless you to do what I need you to do, I'm going to do it, and you will have no needs because you are in me. So 1 Corinthians 1:11 in the King James Version, it says, "For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." So the house of Chloe, he didn't say Chloe's husband or Chloe's son. Paul also mentions men and their households. He mentions husbands and wives a few times. The Bible mentions Deborah as a judge and a prophet. And trust and believe, you know, if she's a prophet and she was a judge, she was speaking in the church. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19 talks about the churches of Asia and how he greets them. And he talks about husband and wife team, Aquila and Priscilla, and that the church was in their house. And then in Romans 16, 3 and 4, he says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life." So if a husband and wife can risk their life for the gospel and for Paul, you think speaking in a church is anything? So 1 Corinthians verse 14, chapter 14, verse 34 is misinterpreted. Also notice how as women keep silence in the churches, it is a shame for women to speak in the church, gets abused, that women shall not preach or teach. Being silent and preaching and teaching are two different things. Silence and shame. Doesn't that sound like another religion where women are oppressed, feared, and hated? Usually things that are oppressed are really deeply feared. And those things are feared because they are powerful. And once again, I said, we are given power, but if you choose to give your power to something else, then that is on you to give, because we have free will, but it's also on you to take back should you choose that you no longer wish to bow down to a system where you are treated as nothing but a womb, or your genitalia, or your other parts. So our God does not silence nor shame any of his beloveds. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24, Paul's letter was to the churches in Corinth. If this oppressive interpretation were true, women should not sing, worship, read announcements, prophesy, or even be allowed to say amen in church, because it says be quiet. Be silent. Silence means you can't even go, That means silence, not a peep out of you. And maybe not a peep out of you should also mean that you should not give from your abundance. God doesn't say that. This is being interpreted by men who need to feel superior. Notice I didn't say all men, okay? Men who need to feel superior have an inferiority complex, and they need, in order for them to feel up, they have to put someone down. The other belief is this, that hey, I'm okay and you're okay too. Okay, I'm okay because I'm white and you're okay because you're a non-white person, or I'm okay because I'm wealthy but you're okay because you're poor. I'm gonna judge you on your character and your belief system, not some measurement that was predetermined before you even came into this world. No father, no good father that I know would ever silence nor shame his daughter for praising him, for doing his instructions, nor canceling the work of that father's enemy. So no natural father would do it, and I'll certainly not our Heavenly Father. Right, Holy Spirit? Amen to that. Now I can go deeper into this. However, Paul was addressing two particular cultures of that time: the Corinthian culture and the Ephesian culture. Both regions had large and powerful worship centers to the goddess Diana, also sometimes known as Artemis. Artemis was the daughter of Zeus and also the twin sister of Apollo. On most accounts, the twins, Artemis and Apollo, were the products of Zeus's extramarital liaisons. So Artemis was a widely venerated Greek deity. Her worship and multiple temples, altars, and local veneration were found everywhere in the ancient world. And that's also where the gospel was being preached, right? She also had a great temple in Ephesus, of which when you read the letters to Timothy and the churches, the letters to the Ephesians, those are also dealing with things that the people from those regions came on. So temple prostitution, cult prostitution, and religious prostitution are ceremonies consisting of paid intercourse performed as an act of religious worship. So when you worship darkness, you must defy Father God, and this defiance and opposition and rebellion to the kingdom of life and the kingdom of light opens doorways for the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of death. these doorways open and they remain open. And what do doorways do? They allow access. So these open demonic doorways allow access, demonic traffic to come and go at will. And what does demonic traffic do? They steal from you and your children. They kill you and your children, and they destroy you and your children. So the first payment installment from these the Dark Kingdom always looks promising and good, because Satan comes disguised as an angel of light. But the second and third and fourth installments always lead to death. Something is being stolen from you, something is being destroyed that you value, and something that you value must die. And you don't get to choose. When we become detectives as who would want a person to engage in buying or selling human beings as living condoms, as I like to call prostitution. And a prostitute can be male or female. And male prostitutes are just as tormented as female prostitutes. Only a person who believes someone must lose so that another person can gain something would want prostitution to go on. Because we all come in this world with value to do something that only we can do. And it never has to do with selling our bodies, our genitalia, to do it. So in reality, both lose. So the label trick, notice the label trick, because you're all being tricked. The one selling their body and the one who thinks they're buying their body, you're both being tricked. Or the term John. So that means that this person's real name is meaningless because they just sold the legacy to release or ejaculate, to release some sperm or attention, or to feel powerful that he or she can buy another person. But they have really sold themselves. So in reality, both people have really sold themselves. And that's what happens at temples. When you give your life to the god of that temple, there's a ceremony that goes on. So that's what temple prostitution is. In Diana and Artemis's temple and the temple of Bacchus and all these other ones. But when you give your body over to worship and praise of God and to serving Father God's kingdom and to saving your family and yourself from destruction so you can prosper and live abundantly and have life and freedom indeed. And that's what you get from our kingdom. Choose wisely. So Paul was talking to this culture whom did not mind the goddess Artemis. They didn't mind the spirit of the dominatrix who humiliates, puts men under her feet, and who torments men and makes them bow to her. She's bold and hunting and she's domineering. She's a royal female entity born out of sexual deviancy. So therefore, the deviancy of her temple prostitutes would of course act just like her, which would be not listening to male nor female, challenging anything and anyone who would preach love, meekness, kindness, and humility taught in the Bible for men or women. So the new converts in the city of Ephesus and Corinth, they were new converts. So they were, some of them were ex-temple prostitutes. Some of them were ex-temple tricks. Some of them, they still had old wine mixed with the new wine. And this is why we go and learn the word, so we can take garbage out and bring life in. So all the new converts came from the people under the influence of, you know, Diana, bold Artemis. Same thing happens with ex-witches and ex-Satan worshippers, ex-people who are real vampires and atheists who are really self-worship. They all need to understand and they all need to learn love and meekness and kindness and humility. These things are very powerful, powerful tools in the kingdom of the real royal family. But we have to learn how to do it and we have to keep doing it. So we have to unlearn the beliefs and thoughts and actions of the kingdom of death. And we have to relearn our kingdom's tools and ways of being. And these are not easy things to do, because you have to, if you've been doing something for 20 years and now all of a sudden you learn that the thing that you were doing was the wrong way, in order to do it the right way, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time. And thank God that He's a God of grace and He's a God of mercy. Sometimes you can stop it right away, and sometimes you just might not understand. And then when you don't understand, what you do is you ask the Holy Spirit to help you. So I had a coworker who said he was a believer in the Word, and he once asked me about prostitution. So people only ask you about things that they're involved in. And he said, well, you know, what do you think about this? You know, me and my wife are having problems, and so, you know, I'm lonely, we're not intimate anymore. And that in itself was a red flag. And he's like, so what if I, you know, hired a prostitute? Aren't we two consenting adults? That is a very deep answer. I will not go into it. I will address it, I'm sure, at some future podcast. But there is no such thing in Christ, two consenting adults. Okay, you don't just have sex with anything. There is a divine order, and it's not just man and woman. That is not our belief system. God chooses who your husband is. God chooses who your wife is. A lot of people are going to get surprised when they get to heaven and they're going to find out they married someone just to be married, but they didn't marry the person who God told them to marry. Ask Hosea in the Bible about that, when God told him to marry a prostitute. So I'm not saying marry a prostitute, I'm saying marry the one who God tells you to marry. And one of the first things that you can start to understand, that in the real royal family, this is not rainbows, cotton candy, and skipping and singing songs. This is work, this is war, this is obedience. But in that work and that war and that obedience, there is extreme amount of joy. But you gotta get out of the cage, right? Out of the wizard's cave. You got to get off of his property. You got to unhook his chains, which are still holding you to those old belief systems. And that's why we have the game quest. That's why we have reading Releasing the Blood in the morning and doing it before you go to bed. That's why I give you links to listening to very deep worship, which stops the night terrors, it stops the astral projection, it stops the witches from coming to you while you're sleeping and trying to be refreshed by the Spirit of God. But you don't have those heavenly doorways open. Let's say you have 100,000 portals open and you only have 10 for God. There's a power struggle, and you have to consistently work to close those demonic portals, close them, nail them shut. And your behavior and your thoughts and your deeds will open or close doorways to heaven or doorways to hell. So let's move on to destroying the destroyer. In John 10:10, he says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. When you want to tabernacle with Christ, okay, definition of the word tabernacle, it's a noun. It means a house of worship, a receptacle for consecration, a tent sanctuary used by the Israelites, which was during Exodus, which was usually temporary. It's a dwelling place and a temporary shelter. Okay, tabernacle is also a verb, to take up temporary residence, to inhabit a physical body. So your body is a dwelling place, and how long the Holy Spirit dwells in us, with us, and upon us, and how thick He is when He dwells with us. What is His density? Is He just coming as a wisp, or is He coming as thick and dense as gold is? Determines on you and what you do. It depends how clean and consecrated is your house of worship. Are there spiders, bats, and pigs in your parlor? Are we full of hate, confusion, joking, cursing people out, lying, being a narcissist, not knowing who you are, but working hard to make other people's lives difficult? Other people who won't bow to your will, you try to break them, trying to make yourself a god. And how dare you? And that's not your title, and that's not your position. You are to control yourself and not to control others. Are we living on purpose? Are we double-minded? Are we angry? Are we argumentative? Are we temple prostitutes? Are we temple tricks? And you think just because you bought a temple prostitute you're better than that? Well, you're both lying in the same bed and you're opening up the same demonic portals. Don't be fooled by thinking that you are superior because you paid for someone's genitalia, because they paid for what you ejaculated out. And what it's being used for in the kingdom of darkness would really disgust you. And since it has your DNA in it, males and females, because they collect from both sides, is definitely coming back to destroy you. So are we doing the above acts? Are we listening to the seduction of the world, our flesh and the devil, and unknowingly opening up death portals to allow more destruction? God is not limiting you when he tells you don't do these things I'm about to read. He is protecting you. So let's learn about submitting to God. But first, let's understand what submitting means. Submission can come from two sources, okay? One is fear and the other one is love. Submission, when it comes based on love and respect, is if you displease the object of your adoration, you do fear because you never want to hurt or displease the one whom you love and adore, because you love them and they love you and you respect them and they respect you. You win and they win. You hurt them, you are hurting yourself. Because you are one with them. You stay because you want to. You're not doing one thing while they are watching and then another thing when they are away. Their joy is your joy. You are truthful to them. They are truthful to you. You are energized and encouraged because love is energizing. And things might not always be perfect. Because remember I said it's not cotton candy and holding hands and singing songs, you know, because this is a kingdom of taking territory and sometimes warfare is involved. But you can trust them to keep their promise, and you also know that you have peace and joy and you are protected. So when submission is based on fear and you are in terror, it's not really submission, because submission must be given voluntarily. So really, when submission is based upon fear and terror, it's really called oppression. But people can make you think it's submission. And it is, because you willingly stay. And the minute you choose not to be there anymore, and the minute you choose to figure out a way to get away and think about being free, then that doorway will open up for you. But when submission is based upon fear and you are in terror, when you displease or disobey the one who you fear, you are punished. And they enjoy punishing you. They are not one with you. They feed off of you. They pit you against others to compete for their affection or their attention. They drain you. They win and you lose. You want to escape because there is no love. And you might not know what love is, but you know that the thing that you are feeling in this relationship is not it. You lie to yourself and they lie to you. It's a roller coaster of emotions. And these emotions very rarely include joy. There's no peace. There's only lack, threats, vulnerability, and terror. They win, you lose. So taking back your crown is symbolic of reclaiming your throne and not giving your power, worship, and service to someone who hates you and will use your own power to kill you and bring you sorrow. Taking back your crown means thinking, acting, and speaking the way royals in our kingdom think, act, and speak. Taking back your crown means understanding. Here are some steps to destroy the destroyer. So this series is going to be in a part one and a part two also. So steps to destroying the destroyer before they destroy you is to close doorways, portals, gates, and windows. You are keeping out bats. You are keeping out pigs. You are keeping out dragons. You are keeping out death. You are keeping out darkness and every evil thing. So how do we stop doing what the word says not to do? Well, first of all, what does the word say not to do? I'm so glad you asked, my beautiful royal family. So we're going to go to Galatians 5:19-21, and the word is very clear. And this is one place where it really puts all of the things that Father says we are not to do, not because he's a killjoy, but because he's a protector. He understands that when you do the things of the kingdom of darkness, when you use the tools from the kingdom of darkness, you get the rewards and the wages from the kingdom of darkness. Okay, so now in the King James Version, Galatians 5:19-21 says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." I'm going to read another version of Galatians 5. There's a lot of words in there, like lasciviousness. I wasn't sure what it meant either. But what I do know is when this is going on, when you have a habit of doing those other things because you have been miseducated, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Galatians 5, verse 6. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So behave as the royal family behaves. The word says in Luke 6:27, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you." So that's an example of doing the opposite of what the world tells us to do. But let's go back to the amplified version of Galatians 5:19-21. "Now the practices of the sinful nature are clearly evident. They are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, which means total irresponsibility, lack of self-control, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions that promote heresies, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like these. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So in the Message version of the same Galatians chapter 5:19-21, this is the one I really, really like, but the Passion also brings it home too. So it is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. This isn't the first time I have warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. And so now I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. "The behavior of the self-life is obvious. Sexual immorality. The behavior of the self-life is obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their quote-unquote freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God?" Wow. 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 So if you do any one of these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And God's kingdom comes with peace, joy, prosperity in every area of your life, health, wealth and soul prosperity. Freedom, not just freedom, but freedom indeed. So this is the end of part one for Destroying the Destroyer. And we're going to come back next week when we're going to do Destroying the Destroyer Part 2. And we're going to understand the who, what, when, where, why, and how. We're going to be detectives for the Kingdom of Light. And we're going to start to examine who would want us to do the forbidden things in Galatians 5. When we look at the time scale, it wasn't so easy 100 years ago, 50 years ago, to do the things on that list. And how easy it is now. It wasn't easy to watch two people who weren't married having sex, or a human being and an animal having sex, and now it's been made so easy. And how do we destroy the destroyer? How do we shut that door in ourselves, right? And then how we can do it for our family, and then how we get more power to do it on and on and on, so our light shines brighter. In the name of Jesus, thank you so much for joining the Real Royal Family. Thank you for being part of taking back your crown. And till we talk again, shalom, shalom.
If you say you love Jesus, roll with him now. All the shots in the world ain't gone down his crown. He put the power in your hands, power in your words. It's dominated with the greatest Lord, praise him first. We are soldiers of Jesus. Huh.